This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Nutrition and Health News channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Dennis Goodman, author and one of America's top doctors. He is also the Director of Integrative Medicine at NYU and Clinical Associate Professor and Cardiologist in the Leon H. Charney Division of Cardiology and Preventive Medicine. Dr. Goodman, certainly a pleasure and honor to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
And you're more than welcome. So first of all, before diving into your new favorite topic, would you give us a brief overview of your background so listeners can get to know you more and your experience?
Sure. You know, a one-liner is I was actually born in South Africa, and that's where I went to medical school, and I was very fortunate because I was there at the time that the first heart transplant occurred with Christian Barnard, and that was very exciting in 1967. I wasn't at medical school then, but that was the medical school that I went to. And then I came to the United States where I did my residency, and I went to do cardiology at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, where Dr. DeBakey is another giant in cardiology. So I was very fortunate to train and be inspired by these great giants in medicine and cardiology. And then I went to San Diego, and I was at Scripps, where I became chief of cardiology for several years. And I was I've actually a cardiologist who's boarded in invasive cardiology, interventional cardiology, and also integrative medicine. I think that's a rare bird these days. I think they're like two ends of an extreme. But for 20 years, I was doing a lot of invasive interventional cardiology and putting stents in and treating people with heart attacks and spending a lot of time in the hospital. And I started to realize that, you know, when you run to see someone who's having a heart attack, you can make a huge difference in their life, but it felt to me like you're running to put out a fire, you know, and the house is burning down, and it's like a fire engine, and you come and you do your very best, and sometimes you're not successful in making a difference to a patient's life or even helping to save somebody's life. And I started to focus more on prevention and realize that if we're going to really make a dent in reducing the incidence and the all the terrible effects of cardiovascular disease, then we've got to work on getting people healthy and being interested in wellness and how to do prevention. You know, there's a scary statistic that half of the people who have a heart attack, Eric, it's their first and last symptom. And that says that you've got to be proactive. You've got to go to your doctor, or you've got to find out what your risk factors are. You've got to do something about it. Because when people say, I feel fine, why should I see the doctor? It's a big mistake. Unfortunately, atherosclerosis is most of the time subclinical. It means you're asymptomatic until something bad happens. So that's my background. And so now I was at Scripps Integrative Medicine for a year or two, and now I am at NYU, Director of Integrative Medicine, and I'm very focused in on having a holistic approach to patient care and doing everything I can to get people motivated to take care of themselves. So I focus in every patient, I focus on four things: nutrition, and that includes supplements as needed, exercise and flexibility, stress management, and sleep. Are you sleeping properly? Are you getting enough sleep? So I hope that gives you a bit of a background. I'm very, very grateful, actually, that I'm in a situation where you see a major medical institution like NYU embracing integrated medicine, saying, you know, we want to know about it, we want to be part of it, and I feel like I'm a bridge between a lot of the Western-trained doctors and people who've been in integrated medicine kind of on the other side for years, and we need to be talking to each other. We need to be able to work together to do what's best for a patient.
Super, super information. Certainly appreciate it, and you certainly bring it to light, the importance of preventative medicine. What's the overall premise of your new book, The Thrill of Krill, and why did you write this now?
Okay, Eric, good question. I've actually got two other books. One's called Magnificent Magnesium, and the other one is about vitamin K2, and this one's about krill and really a lot about omega-3 fatty acids. And what I'm trying to do is I look at all, you know, there's tons of supplements out there. People are confused. And I'm taking one at a time and looking at them and saying, do we have good scientific evidence that they're worth taking and when should you take them. And I wrote about krill because I believe that the omega-3 fatty acids, which have been the polyunsaturated fatty acids, the EPA and DHA, they've been around for a long time. There is a ton of information. And clearly, to me, their major benefit is that they're anti-inflammatory. Inflammation is the background to a lot of medical problems, including atherosclerosis, diabetes, cancer, obesity. When you have inflammation in the body, it's a setup for having medical problems. So if we can take something natural that reduces inflammation, why not? And so even Western-trained physicians are very geared into the fact that that fish oils have been around for a long time and that they're useful. And they even have an indication for bringing down triglyceride levels when they're high enough. So many, many people, as you know, are taking fish oils, but it turns out that that krill, I think, is a superior source of a fish of an omega-3. And I'll just give you the few main reasons. The major, I think, benefit for patients is it doesn't cause this fishy aftertaste. So the krill oil is found in Antarctica. It's small little like, almost like shrimps, little crustaceans. And because it's in the pristine waters of Antarctica, it's much less likely to have any contamination with mercury. So one of the other issues with fish oils is this issue of getting contamination with mercury. So you'll know that all the good fish oil companies are doing extractions to try to make sure clearly they've got to have mercury free is very important. The other thing krill has is something called phospholipids. Phospholipids is part of krill. And what it does is it helps with bioavailability and digestion. So if you're going to actually absorb the krill oil a lot better than you would a fish oil, then you're less likely to having sitting around in the stomach and becoming rancid. So it turns out that if you have a krill oil with at least 40% of it containing phospholipids, that's going to help. Most of fish oils are probably not absorbed. Maybe not all of them, but to my understanding, about only 20% is being absorbed. When you take krill oil, you've got much better absorption. The other thing is that krill oil contains something called astaxanthin. Astaxanthin acts as an antioxidant. So we all want antioxidants in our body. I'm not sure it contains enough to make a real difference to internally to the body, but it certainly contains enough to prevent rancidity and to improve the shelf life of that particular of the omega-3. So what my book's really about is all about the omega-3s, fatty acids, why they're important. I go into the differences between trans fats and monounsaturated, really telling people about what's the whole story with fats. And I make a recommendation that you take a fish oil, a omega-3 in the form of a krill oil, unless you have a problem. And it's very important people realize that you should always talk to your doctor. If you're on a blood thinner, these fish oils and krill oil can have a slight anticoagulant effect, so you don't want to be taking it in combination. So just to summarize, I think krill is a superior source of an omega-3, and for that reason, I prefer it to a fish oil. And there are a lot of fish oils out there. I'm sure you know it's probably a multi-billion dollar industry, and a lot of the fish oil companies are trying to add things like phospholipids, like astaxanthin, removing mercury because they're trying to look more like krill. And the other advantage of krill, you can take less just because it's better, the bioabsorption's better, the availability's better, so you can take, say, half of what you would for a fish oil. So for myself, I just recommend as a maintenance basic daily, I take 500 milligrams of krill oil a day. And if you need it more than that, you can take, you know, a gram or even 2 grams. Whereas, you know, with fish oil, sometimes people are taking 2 to 4 grams a day. So one other thing, I'm trying to throw everything in here in a short time. When you get a krill oil, make sure that you look and see if you've look at the label, make sure you're getting enough phospholipids. Should contain 40% of the total amount of the EPA and DHA should be in the form of phospholipids, and you should have 750 micrograms of astaxanthin. And then have a look as well at the bottle and just see if there's a little label, a little sign that says Friends of the Sea. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because sustainability is always an issue. Are we taking too much krill out of the water? Turns out we're taking 0.5% of the total biomass of krill out of the water. And there are organizations that are carefully monitoring companies or then that they're taking out, you know, the appropriate amount, and they're doing everything they can to preserve the environment. There happens to be a company called Neptune that does an incredible job, but there are other krill oils that are superb. So those are that's really the story. I'm a believer in certain what I call very important supplements, because our body doesn't make them. For example, our body doesn't make omega-3s. That's why it's so important to supplement magnesium, vitamin D, vitamin K2, a multivitamin, CoQ10. So there are a couple, and I could come on another time and talk about the others, but I am now a believer that krill oil is a superior source of basically omega-3s and a better way to take it than fish oils. So that's the story in a nutshell.
Super information there. Now, who should be interested in knowing krill oil is a superior omega-3 source?
Good point. So anybody who has any risk of cardiovascular disease, it reduces inflammation. It helps people who've got arthritic symptoms. There are clearly studies that have shown that you actually can reduce the symptoms of arthritis, including rheumatoid arthritis. It helps women with premenstrual pain. It's been helpful for anxiety and depression. And my book is really just full of all the information regarding the different places it's been shown to lower blood pressure. So, you know, it's one of those things that I kind of feel is a general supplement for people, because you're talking about something with no risk, as long as you're not getting mercury that you're not taking mercury in the. I've told you this, that it's, you're not going to have a mercury problem when you take krill, but you can with a fish oil. But it's low risk and it's anti-inflammatory, so why not take something that can help you reduce inflammation in the body? So for me, it applies to, it's really something that I would recommend to everybody, unless you have a bleeding problem. And clearly then you want to be speaking to a physician, because you don't want to take something that's going to exacerbate bleeding. And of course, if you've got, you know, allergies to seafood or to fish, you obviously can't take it either.
Today we are with Dr. Dennis Goodman, the Director of Integrative Medicine at NYU and Clinical Associate Professor and Cardiologist in the Leon H. Charney Division of Cardiology and Preventive Medicine here on eHealth Radio's Nutrition and Health News Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Goodman, people are tired of taking another fish oil and so many vitamins. What are your recommendations on daily supplements, and how much should a person be spending?
Okay, good question. I've sort of got what I call my top five, which I think are important. I think it's probably worth taking. Let's just start off by saying, if you're eating a healthy diet, do your very best to eat plenty of vegetables. Try to go organic. Go to farm stores. Unfortunately, the soil today is depleted, and you're not going to get, even in some vegetables, you're not going to get what you really need, and that's why I think supplementation is important. But I'm a big believer in having one good multivitamin a day, preferably methylated. Number two, I think you should take magnesium. I think that's so important. The dose is 3 milligrams per pound for women, about 4 milligrams per pound for men. So about 400 milligrams a day of magnesium for women, 500 for men on average. I like a magnesium supplement that ends in ATE because it's better absorbed. So something like glycinate, malate, threonate, citrate, that's what I'm talking about. The next one would be this krill oil, so an omega-3 in the form of krill oil. Take between 500 and 1,000 milligrams a day of that. Number four would be vitamin D. That's a little easier because you can check your vitamin D level. The doctor can tell you how much you need. And the number five would be vitamin K2, which I think is really important for keeping calcium in the bones and out of your blood vessels. And then the others really depends on the situation. We talk about CoQ10, which I do like. Definitely would advise that if you're on a statin, because it depletes CoQ10. And then there are a ton of other supplements that people take for various situations. I don't push supplements, these huge number of supplements, on everybody. I think it becomes expensive. And I've just told you the top five that I like. I think they're worth spending the money on that, because I think they really make a difference.
Well, certainly appreciate your time spent today. Tell us, where is the best place to learn more about the book, The Thrill of Krill, and of course your other books as well and your practice?
My website's DennisGoodmanMD.com, and you'll find the books and a lot of good information. DennisGoodmanMD.com.
Very good. Dr. Goodman, thanks so much for your time today.
Eric, thanks for having me on.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Dennis Goodman, the Director of Integrative Medicine at NYU and Clinical Associate Professor and Cardiologist in the Leon H. Charney Division of Cardiology and Preventive Medicine. And once again, the website of reference is DennisGoodmanMD.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Nutrition and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.